Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
7:09 is the time. Sports the Max gives way to the live outdoors for an hour here. Gary Leaf in for Ron Scher. We were just talking about how cold it is outside, Gary. You know the people that I probably respect the least from Minnesota? Part of being a Minnesotan is enduring the cold, right? It's where we get our bravado. It's where we feel good about ourselves. And I always get a kick out of those weaky wimps that go somewhere warm this time of year. We should all be in this together and fighting it.
It's really a kind of a cop-out. We allegedly are.
Yeah, who are we? Are we tough and strong, or are we weak?
It's really against our values, is what you're saying.
Are we wimpy and weak, you know? I don't know. I'm not sure where Ron is tonight. I assume he's probably up in Anoka or that area. But wait, is he on the line there? You put him on? Ron, where do we find you? You might be, knowing you, you're probably out snow camping somewhere.
Yes, it's colder than heck down here. it was
down where?
Right near 80 degrees. cold.
You're one of them.
I can tell you're feeling bad because you're not here with me. I'm in Cabo, Mexico.
Oh, my God.
San Lucas, Mexico. I know. Somebody's got to do it. I'm opening up a Ron Scher Productions office down here, I do believe, after looking at the forecast up there.
Well, you can share some office space with Jesse Ventura down there. You guys be
Is
good.
Is he down there, too?
Yeah, he's down in Mexico somewhere.
Yes, for sure. But, Gary, are you listening to this?
Oh, absolutely, I'm listening.
Well, listen, it's just between you and me, Gary, here.
Yeah.
Because early this morning, I got reports all the way from Minnesota that Mike Max was suggesting that I was down here in Mexico looking for swimming ducks.
Yes.
And I think what Maxie gets mistaken is I was fishing, and he thinks if a sailfish is a bird that flies. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh.
Either way, I know you don't catch it. I saw that. All I did was comment on social media. You posted a picture of you and Mr. Berger, and I said, it's a great picture, but I don't see any fish.
Well, yes, it was a great picture. I was fishing with Ted Berger. A lot of people will remember the Berger.
Yeah.
Mike and I were talking. I remember going when I first started going to the Berger Brothers store on, 50th in France.
Yes, well, they had several of them, and I got to tell you, I posted that picture, and I've had over 250 folks respond to it,
really?
Reminiscing about how much they loved the Berger Brothers stores.
Isn't that something? Because even being in the outstate, I just remember that name was synonymous with kind of the highest-end outdoor store that you could go to at that time.
Well, there's a couple of things they did right. One, they were well supplied with everything that you might need. If you wanted to go up into Great Bear Lake, fishing lake trout, they had everything you needed to go up there. The other thing is they also had employees that were well-versed on some of these topics. So that was a part of the key to their success. They had employees that knew what the heck they were talking about, and they just ran a good ship. Now, you mentioned the fish.
Yeah.
Well, it was my honor to be with Ted yesterday when he got planked. And we were in his boat. He knows what he's doing down here because he lives down here 3-4 months. We haven't caught a thing. How about that?
You have not caught a thing?
Never caught a thing. No, not a fish.
Well, you say that like I should be surprised.
Well, you could be any way you want to be.
What's been the reason? What's the theory? Is it too big? Is there a warm front? Is there a cold front? Is there a what?
No, we had no big excuses except the fish here along Cabo. They do migrate. We were trying to get some mahi-mahi. Then we bottom fished for whatever would bite. and UC Vice 8, by the way, which was gold-plated minnows down here. And like, I don't know how many we got, but it was like $50 worth. And I had one bite of a, I think it was a, who knows what it was. It was a little fishing, 250 feet deep with a live bait rig, like a sinker. I mean, it takes a long time to get down there and a long time to bring it back up. I had a bite, a grouper, we think it was, and it bit, and I wasn't sure. It was a huge fight with it, and then suddenly it was gone. And we reel it up, and it broke the line. What it had done is it swam down into the rocks and cut the monofilament, and the game was over. That's the only bite we had.
I would not go bottom feeding with live bait down there, and I think that was your first mistake. I'd bring it up about 12 feet.
Well, aren't you special?
I was thinking, Ron, that had the Burger Brothers store in Bloomington still been there, you would have gotten properly equipped before you went on the trip and gotten.
You would think. Now, Ted has a beautiful boat down here, and he has everything you can imagine. But nothing helped yesterday, and he's a little perplexed too. He's going out again tomorrow. I'm not going tomorrow, but he's going to try something different. But it was still fun to be with him. And here's something that a lot of folks see down here, and when you're out fishing, you also see, we must have seen a dozen or more whales.
Do you really?
Some were leapy, just like you see in the ad for some insurance company. Way up
Pacific
there.
Life, Newport Beach.
These are the gray whales, and there are fascinating phenomenon going on here because they're down here to mate and calve. They have their calves down here. Now, at some point yet this spring, they will start swimming back north, Gary and Maxie, and they will go all the way and spend their summers in the waters of Alaska.
Yeah. What's interesting, too, the ones that are at least over in the Hawaii area, when they get down there for a couple months or whatever, don't eat.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
They don't eat.
Well, I don't know if these are eating nuts. You don't mess with a whale.
No.
Are they close to your boat or how far away?
Oh, 300-400 yards away.
That's close enough.
Yeah, we didn't go over by them. Some of the whale watching boats get fairly close for the tourists, but that can be very risky. And one, you don't want the boat to get smashed. You don't want to hurt the whale or whatever. So. But it's phenomenal to see, and you see those spouts come up on the horizon on the ocean. So it was fun being out there. But the fishing was, it just wasn't us. It was very, very slow yesterday, but it could change tomorrow. So there you go. That's fishing.
Yeah, spontaneous.
Yeah. Are you going to go off a dock or anything tomorrow or what?
Tomorrow, I think, what did they say, margaritas are down here?
I think that might be the country of origin for margaritas. I don't.
Can you fish easily from the shore down there or not?
Very difficult. Yeah, you don't see anybody. I have seen them down there fish from shore. They throw a chunk of meat, but it's right here in Cabo. The shallow water goes out quite a ways. Why are there fish around? I never thought about that. You don't see it here very much. You can't get these little pongos. They're fairly cheap, and you go out fish along the rocks and hopefully catch some fish. I did that last year with my grandson Jake and Simone, my daughter, and we caught enough to bring some in, and the restaurant here cooked them up, so it was a lot of fun. But I'm coming back in a couple of days, and the big boat show is on, and I'll be at the boat show Saturday at the GMC booth, so folks can stop by that wouldn't mind it. Chat, I'll tell them about all the fish I didn't catch.
They've heard that story before. I got to come up with a new one.
I'm good at that.
Pretty funny by me again. Hey, do you go swimming out there?
People do. I haven't. The water's too cold.
Is it really?
A lot of kids go out. The water temperature was like out when we were fishing was about 72 degrees. It was warmer than that earlier. It's starting to cool down now. And Teddy said later that the bottom fishing is what we were doing yesterday. It gets better as the water cools.
Well, I'm surprised because I've always said nobody knows bottom fishing like Ron.
Well, that's true. That's you know, that's how you start as a kid. You bottom fish, and I was back bottom fishing again. So there you go.
Net crawlers and bullheads. So you're gonna be. Is that the convention center on Saturday?
Yes, there will be. Are you gonna be there?
Well, if you're gonna be there, I want to know. Yeah, what time are you gonna be there?
About the afternoon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So my guests stop by. I'll share some more adventures with you.
Do you guys have any snacks there?
I'll have snacks. I'll have margaritas there. some chips, the dip. You'll be in good hands, Maxie.
All right, buddy. You come home safely and don't be sunburned.
It's too late for that.
Just make sure those tan lines have definition.
It's wonderful weather you have up there.
Well, let me tell you something. When you get up here Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're going to get a dose of it because it ain't going away anytime soon. It looks like.
I know. Yeah. I looked at the forecast. It's not going to get very warm for quite a few days.
All right. Travel safely, Ron.
All right. You guys be good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Ron.
Yeah. I'm starting to wonder about this whole global warming concept, Gary, the way things are going lately.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's commence another study.
Yeah, we got plenty of studies. There's an industry built up around studies. I mean, it's lucrative.
My God, yeah. Take a break. Come back. Stay with us. Welcome back. Ron down in Mexico. Developing some defined tan lines. Mike, Max, Gary Leaf in studio. Frankie DeSanco on location. Frankie, how are you tonight?
I'm doing just wonderful.
It's good to have you on, Frankie.
Yeah,
well, thank you guys.
Frankie, I was telling Gary, you got me on some fish. Chris Schaefer and I, you got us on some fish this summer.
We had fun, and you're a darn good swimmer.
Yeah, you see, I jumped out of the boat because a fish was sliding away from me, and I caught it, didn't I?
It was good. I've seen you do it.
Yep. That's the kind of determination we like to hear about. We didn't know that live on Outdoors. You know, we got Ron down there in Mazatlan not catching a thing. Have you got any quick tips if he's listening?
Well, he better come back to Minnesota because they're biting up here.
Are they?
Sure.
Which lake? Chisago Lake, Stereo Forest Lake, what, Lindstrom,
well,
what?
You know, I heard a good report tonight in the Forest Lake. They're getting some walleyes out of Forest Lake. But, you know, all of our lakes up here, good pan fishing, crappie at night, sunfish in the day, and the walleye action's been really good for a couple weeks now. So we get a little snow on top of this ice like we're supposed to get tonight and tomorrow. It'll really be good. But it is good now.
Oh, that's good. So what are guys coming in for now at this time of the year as far as anything? They still looking at a lot, some fishing gear, or what kind of stuff are they looking at?
Well, we're selling a lot of live bait now. You know, these ice fishermen, pretty hard to beat that minnow in the wintertime, and we sell a lot of live bait. But we moved into the Minneapolis Boat Show today.
Oh, you just gotten going on that. That's what we were going to bring up. Ron's going to be there this Saturday, and you're going to have the – what are you going to have out there?
Well, we got all the Ranger boats out there, so got all the new Ranger aluminum boats. And they got a pontoon now. We got some pontoons. And then, of course, all the bass boats and multi-species walleye boats, the anglers and the riatas. And I got a really good display out there. Looks good.
So have you got it all put up as of today, or is it just about finishing touches on it?
Well, we were lucky. We got to move in this morning at 8 o'clock, so we had everything in by noon. And they're down cleaning right now. And by Thursday, we'll have them all cleaned up, shined up, looking good.
How do you get out of that log jam afterwards? What's the sequence of events, or how do they clear systematically get you out of there?
Well, you know, it's really funny because we're the first ones in at the boat show. We're the first ones in and the last ones out. So plenty of time to get in and move it all in. They get scheduled time. You know, everybody's going to move before you move. And then at the sportsman show, the one in March, now we're the last in the first out, so...
Well, that's the one you want, right?
The door opens up. Boy, we're hooking on, going home. We're out of there in an hour.
Nice. Nice. Frankie, what's the good economy done to your business over the last few years?
It's been, you know, I can't tell you how good it's been. You know, we've been on that corner for 50 years, and, boy, the last couple, three has been just fantastic for us. You know, the range of line's been good, and with a good economy, it's been real good. I'm just very thankful.
If people are going to come to your booth, what's going to kind of grab their attention, do you think?
Well, it's, you know, that That glass is beautiful. The Ranger glass boat, you know, the 621, the 620s, the 1880s. Just you got to look at them. If you're looking for that, you know, nothing fishes better than that and looks better than those. And I'm lucky enough to have them.
Yeah. And you're the, just so everybody knows, the world's second largest Ranger dealer.
Well, yeah, I thought I was the first, but
yeah,
I was informed here last week that, no, we were number two this year. We were number one in 16 and 17. And then for 18, we actually got the Legacy Award, which I figured you'd be number one with that, too. But I guess there was another dealer, and he was out in California that sold more than we did.
You gotta go.
What part of California?
You know, I don't really know where they are out there. They're a big bass boat country out there. So a lot of bass boats out there.
Yeah, we got to go across the entire United States, way out to California to find somebody that can eclipse Frankie's Live Bait Marine, right?
And I bet you they don't have minnows.
Yeah, there you go.
I bet they don't either. No, yeah.
Probably never heard of them before. We might have to, so we have no idea where they're ranked in that.
No.
So what's the boat show do for you? Do you get a chance to see what's, obviously you got a pretty good idea cutting edge-wise, but you get a chance to measure the appetite of the consumer or what?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a good place to come, too, because you can compare with everybody's. You know, every brand is there. You know, so if you're looking for a multi-species glass boats, you can look at all of them, you know, or aluminum, you can look at all of them. If you're looking for pontoons, they had like 200 pontoons there last year, you know.
That reminds me, Frankie, remember you're going to, I've got a pontoon and I like the motor. Do you got a used one that would push a 9.9 that's relatively cheap?
Yep, I do.
All right.
We got to talk about that. I got to get you fixed up.
We'll talk, buddy. We'll talk.
Have to get over there on Saturday and take a look at it.
Yeah, well, I that stuff's back at the store. But, you know, we got a really good website, too, www.frankies.net. I got all that stuff listed on there now, too.
Awesome. Well, Frankie, we'll be out to see you this weekend, but if people are out there, where do they find you? What's your booth space?
We're 501. We're in the front row.
501C? No, but 501.
501, yeah, there you go.
You got to look for the big bobber. We got the big bobber.
Ginormous bobber sitting there?
You can't miss it.
All right, buddy. Hey, Frankie, good to talk to you, my friend.
Hey, you guys, thanks for the call.
All right, Frankie, thank you.
He's a good guy, runs a good shop, buddy.
He does. I mean, some of my buddies, it's so funny, they bought in boats from him that, and they don't even refer to it anything other than Frankie.
No, that's all you got to say up there.
Yeah, you know, and they know.
Jack Morris, all there's a ton of, Frankie, you go to Frankie. They know, everybody knows Frankie.
Yeah, it sounds like an Italian restaurant or something.
It does.
Like that. I got to go to Frankie's tonight.
But you walk in and it all makes sense.
Yeah, that's right.
Take a break, come back. Plenty more to talk about. Live Outdoors with Gary Leaf. Pete Najarian coming in studio at 8 o'clock. Stay with us. Welcome back. Live Outdoors, Gary Leaf in. Pete Najarian coming in studio at 8 o'clock. Plenty to talk about outdoors-wise. And one of the great things about Minnesota this time of year is you can still do a little pheasant hunting. It's not too bad if you're, you know, because you're not, we haven't been snowed out, so you can go to some of the pheasant farms, as they call them.
Yeah.
But still, you can get a pretty good pheasant hunt in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you want to watch how you're walking and all that kind of stuff like
that. Yeah, but at least we don't have the drifts.
Yeah, that's right. It's a lot easier than some other years or, you know, a number of outdoor activities like that. But, you know, we got the ice fishing.
But if you want a shotgun, I mean, in advance. That's why we bring Ted Dick into it to talk about grouse, of course. He's a DNR coordinator for it. Ted, how are you tonight?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you?
Really good.
What do you see from rough, like this time of year? Can you still hunt rough grouse? I don't even know when the season ends.
No, it ended a little while ago, closer to the first of the year.
Yeah, December 30th. Okay.
And how was it overall this year in Minnesota?
I don't know. It was, I'm not going to say it was great. It was better than 2017, we'll say, but still kind of below what we've been hoping for lately.
Yeah. You've been keeping track. There's a lot of, you know, periodic information popping out about, you know, West Nile and the rough grouse to see if that's having an effect on the boomer bust cycles. What's kind of some of the current stuff on that?
Well, as we've talked about before, in 2017, when hunting didn't quite meet our rosy expectations, we started looking for some reasons and talking to people in some other states, particularly out east. Pennsylvania's kind of been leading the way. There's been more and more concern about the potential impact of West Nile virus on rough grouse populations, and we hadn't looked at that much in the past, but this year we initiated a three-state cooperative study with Michigan and Wisconsin to collect some samples from hunters. And some of the first stuff is coming back from Wisconsin. They had a press release last week where they had 16 birds that were turned in because they were behaving oddly. You know, they looked sick or something. They weren't necessarily shot. Some of them were, but they did have three positives out of those first 16. But we've still got about 270 Minnesota samples and I think about 800 samples overall that are off at a diagnostic lab to see what kind of numbers, see what kind of prevalence we get overall in those samples.
Yeah, going from when they're brought in to when you get the results back, how long does it take for a lab to determine
well,
that?
We held a lot of them, so some of these, you know, came in September and October, so we've been sitting on them until we got a big batch so we could kind of send them all at once. So we just sent them in, I think, just before Christmas, and once they get tested and once we have a chance to look at everything, I think in Minnesota, we were planning on putting out a press release on our results in about March was what we were thinking.
Oh, okay. So it's upcoming in a little bit. I mean, is that a common test for a wildlife center or, I mean, that does that type of thing? Or how do you handle the lab work on something like that?
Well, we submitted some hearts, and then these filter strips, they're called Nabuto strips, that we dip in some of the grouse blood right after it's been harvested. And so once those are sent in, you know, I'm not a lab guy. So
Exactly.
With the heart, they just look at malformations and issues with the general morphology of the heart. But with the blood strips, they run some specific tests for West Nile. And I was just looking at a lab report for one of the positive birds. Nick Larson is a friend of the Rough Grouse Society, works in Duluth, and he shot one of the birds in Wisconsin that tested positive. So he sent me the lab report. And they do a pretty thorough rundown on those birds that were turned in that were obviously sick or acting strangely. And it's an in-depth report. You know, they look at the whole carcass to see what they can. And the West Nile test specifically, you know, it's just a blood test kind of thing, but it'll give us the information we need.
Now, in Pennsylvania or whatever it may be, it seems like ultimate or maximizing or improving and enhancing, however you want to say it, the habitat that they need is a deterrent, or how would you characterize what that might do for them?
Well, I think what they were saying, and we would agree with, and the Rough Grouse Society agrees with it, that if you have good habitat, you're just going to produce more birds. You know, you'll get more birds to survive till the fall, regardless of the impacts of the disease. So they were advocating that we want to make sure in those eastern states they don't have the kind of habitat that we do, and we like to keep working on ours here too. But if you keep the habitat better, the birds will generally be more fit and they'll do better in the habitat that they're adapted to. And so that's kind of what they were shooting for there. But if we do find out that West Nile in this preliminary study is fairly prevalent on the landscape, we'll want to look more closely at both the habitat and do a little more in-depth analysis of how widespread these impacts are.
Are they doing anything differently out in Pennsylvania than Minnesota, or how would you compare that just in some manner?
You mean habitat-wise?
Yeah.
I think here, you know, we have the Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Funds and our DNR and our timber industry are all geared to the effects of what they do on the landscape produce a lot of good grouse habitat, particularly on state land here. And Pennsylvania and a lot of the eastern states and the states in between the eastern Midwest, you know, Ohio and Indiana and some of those, they just generally don't have the pulp industry, the timber industry, the clear cutting that we still have in the Midwest. So generally it's considered the upper Midwest has the best rough grouse habitat in the 48 states, but it's because we have access to funds to work on habitat and because we have a viable thriving timber industry.
What is that called? A designated rough grouse area, or how do they delineate it here? They've got some.
We have a lot of state land and public land, but areas where we focus our grouse management sometimes are, we call them RGMAs, rough grouse management areas.
Yeah, there we go.
Those can be some kind of public land. It can be federal, state, county, or a combination of those. And it's a place where we generally do the classic kind of rough grouse timber management, where we have a variety of age classes. You promote aspen maybe over some other species, and then good mix for us with conifer for being able to hide in these low snow winters. Those are popular. RGS works on those with the county, state, and federal agencies.
Kind of along the line of the Gordon Gulyan method, I guess.
Yeah, using that old school sort of small blocks with a variety of age classes and proximity. And then we also try to put a number of hunter walking trails in there so people can get around in there.
Sure.
And a lot of times they're non-motorized, so it's a good place to run dogs, too.
I was just talking about, you go to Pheasant Farm, you can hunt. Is there any place that they release grouse, or does that not work well?
You know, we get calls every year, and people want to do that because pheasant stalking is popular and successful
in
places. You know, with rough grouse, they just seem to be much more difficult to raise in captivity. You know, there's a couple people around. I ran into a guy at a banquet the other day that used to do it, but the survival rates are so low and it's so difficult, it works out to being, I think they sell them for $400 a pair or something. You know, it's just...
Oh, really?
It's just tougher to do. They're just...
Because why? Is it just, domestically they don't do well? They got to be in the wild or what?
Yeah, it's they I kind of like it. You know, can't have penned raised. They're all wild birds and, you know, they know how to thrive on their own out in the forest. But yeah, it just seems to be something with their temperament that, I don't know, there's too much stress or there's too many things that they can't adapt to in a captive situation. At least nobody's really found a good way to do it. So,
and that's why you see chuckers instead, I guess. That would be kind of the advanced stage of them, huh?
Much, much hardier in a cage or in a pen in captivity than a rough grouse. You know,
there was, I forget exactly what the era was. Must have been in the early 70s or something, where they attempted to stock a Norwegian rough grouse up in northern Minnesota, but I forget what the name. It was much bigger.
Yeah, it wasn't a rough grouse, but they tried several kinds. I used to work up in Bedette, and up by Bedette and War Road, back in the Bill Berg days in the 60s and things. They released black grouse, several European species,
That are more like a spruce grouse, but they're like twice as big as a regular rough grouse, right?
Well, those capercaillies, those are like four times as big. They're monsters. If you Google them, if you look them up online, you can see some pretty cool videos of them flushing and out in the wild. And so, yeah, you know, that we've various agencies have tried to introduce all sorts of things over the years, and that was one effort. And some of the species persisted for a little while up there, but they didn't last forever. So.
Yeah, and who would have ever thought that wild turkeys be going north of Highway 2? I mean,
yeah. aren't they anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean.
And pheasants, too, right? You know, they're not.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Time ago, too. So there's a lot of, there's some species that do pretty well. You know, gray partridge are another non-native, and, you know, there's a few of them that do pretty well, but there's some of them that cause problems, too, so you have to be very careful when you bring things in.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting stuff, Ted. When do you make your forecast for the fall?
I quit doing forecasts.
I forgot about that. You hung that up.
He's still trying to dig his way out, you know?
Well, I just pass on the information. I wasn't completely responsible for that on my own. But, the drumming counts, you know, where we send out volunteers and employees to count, that's usually done in April. And then Charlotte Roy is our grouse project research leader, and Dr. Roy compiles that information. And I think last year it came out right around the 4th of July. We usually try to get it out just about then or a little earlier. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
So is the data that's collected in the spring, is that pretty consistent one way or another with what the forecast might be?
That's the way I always looked at it. You know, I've been hunting here for years, and we always used to wait for that spring report to get an idea of how much fun we were going to have in the fall. But these last few years, you know, we had those high drumming counts, and then the fall turned into kind of a bust. So that's why we're looking at the West Nile, because that's something that would, since it's a mosquito-borne illness, it probably has an effect sometime between the drumming counts and the fall. And so that's why we're looking more closely at that. But normally there is a pretty good correlation. If you have a good drumming count, that bodes well for the fall.
But, yeah, and that would go back many, many years that they were keeping track of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like something you just invented.
Yeah, it's been 70 years I've been doing that.
Interesting. Yeah. Hey, Ted, appreciate it. Always good to visit with you.
All right, great to talk to you guys. Call anytime.
Stay warm.
Yeah, I will. Thanks. See you.
You bet. Ted Dick, Rough Grouse Count, and much more. We'll take a break, come back, finish up this edition of Live Outdoors. Stay with us. 7:53 and change. Mike Max, Gary Leaf in for Ron Shira. Ron Shira basking in the glow that is Mexico in 80 degrees.
Yeah, Mazatlan, you know. So he's down there. He didn't make any mention of a wall or anything like that going, you know. But if he's going to go,
I can't see any yet. I don't think.
If he's going to go down there and not catch any fish, they might want
to share a wall to keep him out.
Yeah, build a wall to keep out all those Minnesotans trying to come down there.
Ways, that's right. Yeah. That,
exactly right. Yeah. He'll be at the border with his boat in tow.
Oh, sure, he's in a fishing pole. Although they want him down there, man.
Yeah,
they leave a bunch of money and don't catch any of our fish. Yeah, that's a good deal.
That's right. Spend all kinds of money down there, not to disrupt the resource. Yeah, at all. not even scratch it. Not even put a dent in the fish. You know,
I hope he's listening on his phone or something. Oh, Gary, we got so this time of year we talk ice fishing and whatnot, but we really kind of transition into there's some coyote hunting and a few things that could be done. But we transition into the look ahead to the spring, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, here we are talking about, you know, I'm going from, it's a little bit cold. It's 17 degrees.
Yep.
You know, 17 degrees. It seems a little cold, but it's not. I mean, that's nothing. 15, 20 degrees is pretty nice.
Actually, you know, I remember going pheasant hunting one day. It was 4 degrees outside. And we went, and I thought, oh, boy, is this going to be too cold? There's very little wind. We walked all day in layers, no problem whatsoever. I think wind is a bigger factor than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that chills your bone when you blow that humidity into you.
Well, the nice combination, of course, is late season duck hunting, diver duck hunting, let's say, on a big lake where you got high winds and it's
northwest winds.
Or below 40 degrees, you know, 35. So it does
That's
not freeze. And then you have the boat you got to get.
Yep.
And you're moving out there. And if you got wind and stuff like that, you're talking about, you know, a giant, massive air conditioner.
The worst part that I've never been able to figure out or crack the code on is to get a glove that will keep me warm.
Forget the glove. You got to go with the mittens.
But I'm just saying, I can't believe in this day and age we haven't come up with a glove that you could shoot with that will stay warm and dry. I don't think it exists.
I remember getting, I don't know where, but
I can stay dry but not warm. I can stay, you know.
What did they use in World War II in those bombers or whatever? They used those mittens with the finger, and they were sheep. I had a couple pair of those things. They were sheep lined, you know.
Were they warm?
Oh man, they were unbelievable.
No matter what, because I've never found any that really keep my fingers.
But
warm.
That was a mitt with just one finger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you
I'll take that.
And it was maybe an inch thick, 3/4 inch shirling or something like that.
But once you get wet, your toes or your feet. You just keep getting colder. There's no way to.
Yeah, no matter what absorb text it says on there.
Yeah, no matter what it is. If you get wet at 7 in the morning and you're going to hunt till 10, you're going to be really cold by the time 10 o'clock comes around. Now there's ways I've found, one of the best ways is to, like if you're out hunting ducks, you move around your waders, go out there and adjust the decoys, do anything you can to get your feet moving. If you get the blood flowing, you're okay.
Yeah, that's
now,
exactly
ice fishing,
right.
I don't know what you would do, although very few people now ice fish without either access to a portable or at least have their vehicle right there.
Yeah, clam or ice castle, you get that going. And
I don't see anybody that looks like they're, if they're out there back and, the way and they used don't to have do it? That, then it's usually because it's a fairly nice day.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the pictures even before, like my grandfather was big into ice fishing and so on.
The old manual auger, huh?
I don't think that he
would. They just chop it with an axe or
some
what?
Kind of bucket, and that's about it, and went out there and. But then they're, maybe more.
What would he think if he saw satellite TV?
The whole show that they're doing it now, I don't know if he'd even know it was fishing. He'd just assume, he wouldn't recognize it, not from the way it was 50, 60, 70 years ago and so on and so forth. There are a few ice houses, I suppose, but most of the people were sitting outside doing it.
Yeah, that's right, and they call that fishing. Hey, Gary, thank you so much for coming in and sitting in.
Yeah, this was great. This was great. So
Gary Leaf, nice enough to join us, MLK Day. Ron will be back next week with a Stop at the Boat Show in between, so you can go on down there and give him a big howdy this Saturday, and hopefully he'll have some treats for you. If you
get to Frankie's Boats. The second largest Ranger dealer.
Pete Najarian coming in studio. He's next. It's Sports to the Max on News Talk 830 WCCO.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.